hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, back here at 4 o'clock hour. Reno is in. This hour is brought to you by Battle Worn Injury Lawyers, 766-1400. Griffin, I will correct one thing I said. We've got some good audio we're going to use here from Paul Finebaum and our buddy Stephen A. Smith. That's coming up in just a couple minutes. Alex White is here. We were just talking to UNLV legend, really local legend, local baseball legend, but was a good football player. I think he would have laughed at this because I think it really was his nickname. Willie Ramirez was fired up to talk to Nick today, Nick the Kick. And, you know, back in the day, some 30 years ago, they won the Las Vegas Bowl. They won the Big West. On SportsCenter, they actually did address him as the beer belly booter. Which, you know, if I'm a high-level athlete and I'm kind of a, you know, Zaftig guy, I don't mind. I don't mind that.
Well, he did say, you know, some bad decisions, and then he said soda pop or whatever.
Well, it just, I don't think it was a premium as much as it is now for athletes, and especially those positions, to stay in shape, which actually shows you, he said he was 268 kicking, which actually shows you that in a lot of cases, kickers are just like athletic monsters. They don't get right. enough credit for the sort of power they get in a leg swing. You ever try to kick a football?
I have not.
It is the worst, because you watch them kick and you're like, oh, I can do that, and then you do it. Like, I played some soccer, like, I'm not weak. This is probably 15 years ago. You know, I'm kicking football and I'm like, okay, it's going straight ahead, it's, you know, squirreling off to the right, this sucks.
Well, they have so many challenges before every college football game, right? And everybody thinks that they can do it, and I've yet to a regular fan.
There's been a few here and there, like a nail a 30 yarder, but it's not easy, and most of them are just ugly looking kicks. You know, the funny thing is, I liked Jose Pisano a lot last year. One, he was a great story, which, by the way, we should add again. Bobby Petrino was here for like 3 days in Vegas and then bolted, and everyone's like, son of a, they were all mad at him. He's the guy who got Pisano to come follow him from Missouri State, and then Pisano has one of the greatest seasons in kicking history. And frankly, if you looked at the last two kickers before Caden Chittenden, who's in now as a true freshman, who's very good. The last two kickers, Gutierrez and especially Pisano, were not exactly like Hercules. They were both around 5'10". I don't want to get on them, but I think Pisano might have been 250 pounds. But he's such a freaking good athlete. He played soccer. You know, Gutierrez was not, again, the Hulk, you know, short, squatty guy, but they were both awesome.
So shout out to the kickers.
There you go. Oh, I always appreciate the kickers. And this group they got right now on UNLV, and you know, we're on right now, as I said, in Reno. Nevada's had some tremendous kickers over the years. And now this position has become so important, not only because, you know, games are won in the margins. Games are won in very tight fashion. You've got to make freaking field goals. But the other thing that's big now, and you see it in the NFL, it is a must in the NFL that your kicker can kick the crap out of the ball into the end zone. And it is such a big advantage in college football when guys can just blast it and you don't even have to use your special team units and just, hey, you know what, kick it through and we don't have to worry about returns. Think about it the other way, too. If the other teams don't have a strong-legged kicker and De Jesus gets a chance at it,
right?
Look out.
Yeah, you get great field position. It really is so important. And now in the NFL, they are having their field goal kickers kick from farther and farther every game, aren't they?
Well, I mean, I think it started out through the first two-plus weeks where it was something like 34 or 39 kicks made beyond 50 yards, which is crazy. So to go back to our original point, Nick was a guy who really had an impressive boot, and then he gave a little bit of regrets there, like, yeah, I should have stayed in better shape. The conditioning for kickers has been advanced. The techniques, I think, have been advanced. So kickers are better and better than they've really ever been. And part of it is evolution, right? Evolution and training. This kid for Dallas, now he missed an important one last night that really could have cost him, but it shows you how much confidence Mike McCarthy has in kickers or in this kicker, because they went for a 51-yarder with less than 6 minutes left last night. He missed it, but does he already have three makes from 60-plus or two makes from 60-plus this year?
I think that is right.
And he kicked a 67. I know he would have set the record had it counted and been in the regular season, he kicked from 67 and made it, and I swear to God, it hit like pretty far up the net. Like it probably was good from like 75 yards. He's a former soccer player.
I was going to say
28 years old, right?
Yeah, those former soccer players, like you said, the leg strength. So he didn't cost the team. He did cost some people in the.
Yeah, he did. Forgot about that angle. The 5.5 number. Uh oh. You didn't have it, did you?
I did.
You were late. Oh no. I'm going to get an update from you on the VSiN Invitational. I know you're going with mostly college.
All college. I have not picked one NFL yet in that contest.
You can't put in Thursday or Friday games, or you can't put in Friday?
Nope.
Okay, so you weren't involved. So that wasn't on your ticket for VSiN?
No, it wasn't.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's real good. So, as we said to open the show, the Matt Sluka UNLV thing continues to have legs, and I don't think this was the intent. I think Derek Stevens and Mike Palm and Circa were like, hey, you know what? If UNLV needs some help with some money, always willing to donate. And then Adam Hill reported the story last night, and then it got out. Let me restate that. Reported the story. It got repurposed a bunch of times. And then the angle is, well, you know, UNLV is really stupid for not just taking the money and paying the quarterback. I'm going to explain a couple of things, and I tried to explain it the last couple of days. This is not about the money or having it. It's not about that. So I think a lot of people have jumped with, like, oh, they're poor. That's also why they went to the Mountain or recommitted to the Mountain West. They need the money. They didn't need the money. They could get the money. You can see an example in Derek Stevens. They have benefactors around the program who will contribute to NIL. They have other players on the roster who are paid. It was, again, about the timing and the character here. And when you go in after a 3-0 start on a Monday and you're asking for a boatload of money, Barry Odom's been consistent, at least to my knowledge, in two other cases before this. And he's actually said publicly that if I'm recruiting a guy and he or his family, the first thing they want to talk about is NIL and how much money they're getting, we're probably out because it's just not what we do. They're not anti-NIL, which right. I heard people say. No, they're very careful about building the team and making sure that that's not the thing. And anyone who's played sports, you know that camaraderie, cohesion, like real teamwork is important. And I mean, just go to your own workplace.
Right.
Right? Alex has been with Cofield and Company for like 3 months. I'll be honest. If the bosses came to me and they're like, you know what? We're going to give Alex the same salary as you, Cofield. I'm like, she does two shows a week? Like that, like I'd get over it, but I'd be like, oh, she is awesome, so I'm glad to have her. But like, there is a chemistry thing. And this was not going to work if they had thrown him a boatload of money. First of all, it sets a precedent. Secondly, I think Odom has already set a precedent, and I'll mention again. The story that you know of is last year with Jade Maiava. He was approached. He was pitched by Uncle Dave, DJU's father, who's kind of putting together a whole group of Polynesian players, Poly players. And he's like, hey, you know what? I can rep you. And we're going to look for deals for you guys. You can make a lot more money than you're making right now. And that's what Jade Maiava was told. So then Maiava, but I think especially Uncle Dave, went to UNLV and they're like, hey, we think he's worth this. This is what we want. We're like, no, no. And Maiava committed. Actually, he was rumored to go into the transfer portal before the bowl game. Then there was some video that he was up there with Brad Odom. And okay, he's staying. And then, okay, everything's good after the bowl game. And then he went in.
Right.
Because his services got shopped around. Can I say he got bad advice? Not really. No, he didn't get. There were reports that, again, it was this 300,000 number that, hey, you can get 300K. So he winds up committing to Georgia, then the next day commits to USC. Also, not a great look, but in the end, what does it matter? USC paid. I don't think they paid. You know, people think he got like $500,000 to be a backup at USC. I don't think that's the case. But he got money, right? The other one is, and I'll tell the story, but if you go back a couple of years, as Odom's trying to cobble together the roster from the Arroyo era, you know, they have to look at who the best players are, you know, and those guys were getting pitched NIL money. Well, Aiden Robbins, the leading rusher from a couple years ago, came in to talk to them and said, hey, you know, what can you get me? And I think they basically were like, nothing. And it's not a stance like, hey, we don't want guys to make money.
Right.
It's an approach. Like, again, go to your own job. There is a way to go to your boss and try to get more money. I can tell you in most cases that trying to strong arm them probably ain't going to work, because everyone, even football players, are replaceable. And that's the other part of the story. I think they really believe in Haj Malik Williams. I think he was a 1B to a 1A. I thought he was going to start the season in the first game. I did. You heard me on the air say it and on a podcast say it. So it's the problem is these details, and this isn't like inside info. If you follow the program, a lot of this stuff has been public knowledge. It doesn't make sense. And give me a little – God, these national guys, man. There's no accountability because they never have to face anyone locally. But here's Paul Feinbaum.
Yeah, Molly, it's a bad story until you read that statement from the university, and then you literally want to throw up. This is a university that clearly offered this young man an opportunity, offered to pay him, reneged on that, and now they're essentially accusing him of being a grifter, a scam artist. And that's why people hate the NCAA, and that's why people really are fed up with the way things are in college athletics.
He was clearly offered. Paul Feinbaum has really become a horse's ass over the years. He really has. He's a bully. He never gets challenged. We often play that audio when our buddy in Kansas City, Soren Petro, went on with Feinbaum and was giving Feinbaum a good argument and kind of giving some stuff back to him. And then Feinbaum just snapped and he's like, you know, I don't know who you are. I don't know why we have you on the show. Like, what a weakling. What a pansy move. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
Matter of fact, I think this is a blemish at UNLV because, first of all, you don't have but so many resources as a football program to begin with, right? The resources you have are minimal, but now you're exposed for not keeping your word? Oh, this is bad. This is bad because guess what? Him walking out on you sent the message to everybody else. We can't trust you.
Yeah.
Why go there? Why make a commitment to that university? They probably ain't going to honor it. I'm not saying that's factual. I'm saying that's the perception that they're living with right now because they've been put on blast by Sluka.
Well, that's interesting. Perception versus reality.
You said it's not inside information, but it is a little bit, because if you aren't really studying college football, you don't really know that there was a quarterback competition between these two.
They're not going to know that part.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. They could. Make some calls.
That's right. Look into it a
little
bit.
I try not to talk about other markets without reaching out to – like, I have a decent network of at least – with the Mountain West, I can reach out to people and try to get a little bit of background. Try. But when you get to that level, Stephen A. is covering so many freaking stories every day, every week. He doesn't have time. And I also wouldn't trust a researcher to do it, because I need to talk to people directly.
Last time I was on, actually, you played a clip of him, and he got Aaron Judge and Soto's lineup position wrong where they were playing. So, yeah, he definitely needs somebody helping him out and getting him the right information.
Do a little bit of work. Please, just a little bit. These are wacky times, man. Treasure Island on a Friday. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, come on out. We got UNLV tickets for the Fresno game. Just come up, ask for them, and you're good to go.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Man, so much to get to as we're approaching the halfway point of Cofield and Company on this Friday. Going to bounce around our entry for Circa Million. Four picks are in. The fifth is not. That's my pick. But we'll give you the four picks. We'll break it down. That's coming up. A lot more on conference chaos and what UNLV did in recommitting to the Mountain West Conference and who the conference may be reaching out to. Some really surprising names on that front. But I want to hit on some college football here. Alex White's with us. Alex, of course, from South Point Studios and a two-time champion of Last Woman Standing. It was Last Man Standing, but Last Woman Standing. She's also in the VSiN Invitational. Do you guys have any handicaps? I'm going to throw this at you blindly, but did you guys have any handicaps on one Miami and VTech tonight?
I did make Miami a little bit bigger bigger of a favorite than it was. It was like 19 and a half. I think had him 21. But that's a big price to lay. I do like your Red Cruz team, though, tonight at home.
Okay, let me hear this.
Well, I made them a bigger favorite than they are. I mean, we've seen some...
Still going down. Rutgers now 1.
Wow.
And it was 3.5, I think, to open. People had no problem betting it through the key number 3. That game's coming up at 5 o'clock on FS1. 4:30, so we're about 10 minutes away from Virginia Tech and Miami. So,
well, Virginia Tech is... I had them a lot higher to start the year, and they've been pretty disappointing.
So I got to watch Rutgers and VTech last week. I don't always get to watch Rutgers, my squad, often because it's usually some, you know, deal where it's coinciding with the UNLV trip or the game. The game against VTech, they outplayed them for about 3 quarters. They were very safely ahead. They were up 26-7. They had a chance to go up 33-7. They fumbled the ball at the goal line going in. And then, I don't always know how to say this. Like, I think they did the right thing, but I don't want to say it was being aggressive. They passed up on a kick, got stopped, and for some reason, all of a sudden, the momentum all disappeared.
Right.
They were defending the run well, and then they fell apart. It was almost like they gassed out defensively. So that kind of leads into a handicap against Washington in a second. But I thought VTech had no passing game. Their quarterback really can run. And I didn't think they were that stout defensively. So I think they're in for it here against Miami. I think they could be in trouble. But it's hard to lay or pass up on grabbing. I mean, that number is at 17.5 now. It's hard to pass up on a key number plus the hook.
Right.
And from a program that you know has been pretty solid over the years. Like, how good is Miami? Are they going to be focused week to week? Or, you know, are you going to get some unevenness here with Cristobal?
I think they're pretty good. Yeah. I mean, Cam Ward has been the whole difference maker
that
there.
It kind of changes everything, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. So now they have a really good quarterback they can count on.
Now, I think Washington going cross-country, one, I don't think they're going to have a healthy respect because I don't know if anyone there knows who the hell or what the hell Rutgers is. Rutgers has been a really close-to-the-vest power run game team, except they've been good in the last couple of years against everyone except the top of the Big Ten because they just haven't been big enough, strong enough on the O-line and D-line. They're
right.
Getting closer now to getting to that top level, but I still don't think they're there. So I don't think they're going to be able to power Washington completely into the ground. And Washington can throw the ball. Rutgers has a new quarterback, and he's a lot better than the guy the last couple of years. So I think it's probably a toss-up game. I would take Washington in the game.
You would?
Plus the points, yeah, because it's a toss-up game. So a mistake here or there on one side. Now, if Rutgers, they have a good running back, so... They actually have two, but Kyle Manungai last year led the Big Ten. If he gets going and they can just get ahead and grind him, then, yeah, Washington's going to have a lot of trouble. But I don't think that'll happen.
So I didn't write up too much about this game, but I did make Rutgers a 7-point favorite over
Hello.
Washington at home.
Hello.
It's funny that you bring up the Big Ten and the physicality because they are just so big and physical in the trenches, and a team like Rutgers can seem like they're not, but I do think they are improving.
No, like I said, they're at a mid-level Big Ten, you know, power number. I don't mean ratings. I just mean being able to play power football, but they're – I don't know if that's good enough to just run all over someone. I mean, Indiana did it too, freaking UCLA.
Yes, they did.
But I don't think UCLA is as good as Washington. So it'll be interesting. It's a good game, a toss-up game, a game you don't get to see, and I'm happy for my school that they get the Friday night exposure. UNLV, this line has been all over the place. So it opened without the knowledge that Sluka was going to walk. Sluka walks, and then it like freaking – first of all, I don't know if I said this already or I said it today on this show, but I've done like 7 shows or in different markets around the country and on SiriusXM, and I've been mentioning this to everyone. You know who broke the story of Sluka? Did I already say this on today's show?
No.
No, you really. But it wasn't like, hey, give credit to someone specifically. The gambling markets broke Sluka, really broke the Sluka news because if you remember, it was swirling all over the place. Brad Powers confirmed that yesterday. The number on Tuesday dumped in like 4 hours from 4 to 3. And it was like, hey, what the hell's going on here? And I got a bunch of calls like, hey, is there something wrong with Sluka? Now, So we'd heard some stuff, but nothing was official. Then Sluka says, I'm out. And then the number goes from three and then went all the way to the other side, didn't it? To Fresno. I think Fresno was the favorite.
Yep.
Well, now it's come all the way back to 2.5. I have no idea why that's happened. I don't know if Sharps, like, what did they get practice tape of Haj Malik? Did they watch the Utah Tech fourth quarter? That's a weird one that it would come all the way back. It's not, you know, 3, 3.5 like it was, or even 4, actually, UNLV was favored. But what do you think?
I mean, I don't know how much, like, sports betting media really has an influence, but I have heard a lot of people talking about this team rallying around Taj Malik Williams and them, and them actually, you know, being just as good, which is true too. I mean, when you look at Sluka's numbers, yes, he definitely is a great dual threat quarterback, but so is Williams, and his passing numbers were not great, and that's a big part of the story of how do you go in and ask for all that money. So,
I think I do think you have to account for the potential that first start, first game, you know, Fresno. Like, I don't think Fresno's good on the run defense. They haven't been for the last 3 years, or at least they haven't been able to handle UNLV. But this is a really big spot in front of a big crowd. Haj Malik looks like he's 38 years old. He's like 24 and a half. I think he can handle it, but you never know.
Right.
You never know.
The continuity. That's what you're saying. That, I mean.
That too.
Yeah.
But just kind of the nerves and getting his feet under him. And, you know, you'd like to think that they're going to give him some easy stuff to complete, get Ricky White and DeJesus in the game early, the tight end, Kaleo Blungai into the game as well. But we'll see how it plays out. You know, the problem with Fresno is like, hey, let's kind of get into the game. And all of a sudden they're like bang, bang, bang with their pass game.
Right.
Mikey Keene's awesome. So they're going against the best quarterback in the Mountain West Conference. He's no joke. So that's a problem on the other side. They could, you know, they could not come out, you know, real well offensively. And then all of a sudden, you know, Mikey Keene's beating the hell out of him. And then and Fresno gets out to a good-sized lead.
67% he is completing for his passes. 8.3 yards per pass. 6-4 touchdown interception ratio, though. And UNLV's defense has been really good.
It has been, especially on third down. And I don't know that they've been. So here was the question in the offseason and going into this season is, they had given up so many explosive plays last year. It was like 40-plus explosive plays, and a lot of them were deep shots. And they retooled their defensive back room. They were tested. Well, they got beat on a deep shot by Utah Tech. I mean, Daniels got him a little bit downfield, but not much. And the Houston quarterback, and he's a local, I also don't think he can throw downfield. This is going to be the true test. Hey, yeah. Do we get the right guys? Do we have the dudes who can go out there and not get beaten on high point balls, make sure they're communicating so they don't get blown by. We're going to find out. Because I will guarantee if Fresno State is, they're going to take shots. They always do.
So can I ask you about Jalen Daniels since you just brought him up? And here we have Kansas hosting TCU this week. This is one of my plays. I've kind of been backing Kansas since that UNLV game, waiting for them to get right, especially Jalen Daniels because in the past, we've seen him be a really good quarterback. We know he went through his injuries. Jason Bean stepped in a lot for him last year. But are we going to see him again, or what was your impression from actually being at that game?
He was sloppy. He's mostly good when he gets out of the pocket. I don't think he's comfortable throwing in the pocket right now. And their receivers haven't put up the numbers they put up with Bean because Daniels just hasn't been as good as he was a couple years ago. And There are still whispers, and there were in the offseason, that maybe Daniels with the back injury, it's going to be a thing that's kind of lingering and that he's not back to 100%. So.
Yeah.
But like you, I was watching, keeping track of that West Virginia game, and I'm like, oh, this will be the game they get right. And they were in the game, and they couldn't finish it out. Okay, one more game because we're up against it here, and then we got more college games to get to. Notre Dame and Louisville. I also don't have a real good read on Notre Dame because their play's been uneven. Their quarterback play has been really interesting because the backup came in and he was good. And it's, you know, Riley Leonard's been playing. So what are we doing here?
I laid the points with Notre Dame. I did get a good number. I laid 5.5. I still like them under a touchdown. I know it's tough. We don't really know Louisville yet because they haven't really played anybody. But Notre Dame, I like how they responded from that huge upset from Northern Illinois in their last two games. I mean, 66-7 win over Purdue was pretty impressive. I think they have one of the top five defenses in the country, and their secondary is really good. So, yeah, I'm going with the Fighting Irish this weekend.
One more we'll sneak in. What about Texas A&M?
Texas A&M. I like them as well. Over Arkansas, I think Mike Elko is proving that he's going to rebuild this program, and it was a tough loss their first game against Notre Dame, but since then they've had a really good bounce back, went to Florida, beat them at the Swamp. I like them this weekend as well.
It's Alex White. She's with us quite often here on Cofield & Company. She's full-time over at South Point Studios. We are hanging out on a Friday. We're here on Saturdays as well. Two shows today up until 6 o'clock. Tomorrow, Throw the Flag, 9 to 11 with Danny and Jared, getting you ready for the college football game day. I actually have an appearance tomorrow. I will be calling in live from the field at Allegiant Stadium before that Fresno State game. But those guys do a great job. Lots of giveaways. And you can get breakfast. The breakfast menu includes a breakfast sandwich and the chorizo con papas breakfast bowl.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
You know, we never updated the situation on the heavily debated purchase of Sunday ticket at Casa de Cofield. The SO, a girlfriend, significant other.
Yeah, we need to talk about
this. For 6 weeks was like, get the ticket. That's not her voice. But she's like, I want the ticket. I got to watch my football. And I'm like, we go out all the time. We're not going to be here. So at the end, of course, I got the ticket. Week one, I watched the afternoon games at home. We were out and about in the morning. Week two, same thing. Last week, we actually did stay at home the entire day. So I would say that's kind of halfway. You know, it's funny. I don't even know that I want to stay home. I actually realize I like going out and being amongst people, and because I'm really big on celebrating not my victories, but celebrating other people being miserable. So when things are going bad for other teams, I'm like, ah.
But how nice was Monday, because both games going on?
We were over to Ellis Island for that one.
Okay.
You told me, you're like, I'm set up at the South Point. So this isn't even an issue for me, the Sunday ticket and the $400 price tag.
Yeah, now it's been a domino effect. Since we started having this conversation, I've been invested on whether you guys were getting it or not. So I decided I was going to get YouTube TV and the NFL Sunday ticket this year.
You did?
I did. And then when I say domino effect, then I decided I needed to upgrade my TV. So my quad box was better. So, yeah, this has turned into an expensive NFL season. And you're right. I was completely content. Last year, because when I'm watching football, I'm usually working as well. So being in the South Point studio is a perfect spot. Have all the games, have my computer. But now, here we are.
These are first world problems, so take this with a grain of salt. It's really not rough. You know what happened last week, though? So since I was home, I actually do have a TV wall that we set up kind of when we got in the house. Nothing expensive. It's like a 50 and 240s. So for, like, the NCAA tournament, it's cool.
Yeah.
And it's all Fire Sticks. And I hadn't really been paying attention, maintaining it too much. And Sunday morning, I'm like, that one TV's not working. And let me tell you, everything I try to do in terms of fixing stuff, 5 minutes turns into an hour. And I'm just muttering and cursing the whole time. And, I wound up changing out, like, a Fire new one. And then I'm trying to, like, this guy drilled it because someone did it for me. And I'm like, I can't get these screws out. And so I finally got it going. But I actually had four TVs working with, you know, that was kind of cool.
That's really cool.
Now, the quad box, I really don't need. The quad box. The quad box does nothing for me because I have the TVs. And I also can't see. So it's like, it's so freaking small. You know, can I tell you what the most annoying part is?
What?
That when you get Sunday ticket, the Suns, they don't include Red Zone. You have to pay extra for Red Zone. And I was like, nah, I don't need Red Zone. And then at the end of the, between the morning games and the afternoon games, I'm like, oh, really? I want to watch the end of all these games. And they go to the game at the end. I'm like, I don't have that. $400 and I didn't get that.
Right.
So I was kind of annoyed.
That should be included.
Yeah. Well, yes. 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 It should be. Absolutely. Okay. Circa Million. Some of the selections that we have in. One. What was your pick? Because we got Rams plus +3 against Bears, Steelers minus 1.5 against Colts, Eagles 1.5 against the Bucks, Falcons, and the Saints.
Yes. Mine is the Falcons.
Okay. Why?
In that game, Saints versus Eagles, there were some injuries on the Saints side, and I think that's why the Eagles did have success in that game. I'm still high on Atlanta. I was high on them last year. And now that they actually have a real quarterback, I just think they're going to keep improving throughout this year. So Falcons at home under a field goal.
Coming back, we're going to talk to Kenny White, Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar and Grill.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar and Grill, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, here we go. Important time of the show. Getting leans and likes from the second White on a Friday. We already got some from Alex. I think I may have talked to you off the that Rutgers play. You seemed a little stunned by that, by my analysis. But maybe that's the Rutgers guy in me being less than enthusiastic and kind of nervous about the game. Kenny White is familiar with that school, right, Kenny?
Yes, I am. Very, very familiar. I was born in St. Peter's Hospital right near Rutgers University.
There you go. Covered many a game right in that area as well at the little old St. Peter's High School, which I remember being over there, and they had the basketball court was also the cafeteria. I've never seen a floor like this. I was like, my God. They had Division I prospects, too, when I was covering high school basketball back there. All right, so let's get into – actually, do you – I know you have a bunch of games for Saturday and Sunday. Did you have leans or likes on any, you know, either one of these games tonight, VTech Miami or Washington going cross country to take on Rutgers, both on, getting national TV exposure?
You know, this is the first time Washington has been out of the state of Washington, all four games. So first real true road game, first Big Ten game on the road. And I like what I've seen out of Shiano. I made Rutgers 4. I didn't bet the game, and I see down to pick them. So a lot of money for Washington. Their quarterbacks played really well, but I like Greg Schiano, and I figure that he's got to have his offense and defense more in place than Washington does just with the coaching change this year. But I talked myself into the under in this game because of Greg Schiano and how Rutgers plays. They're going to run the football. They're going to try to shorten the game, and they play great defense. So he's been a great under coach, and Washington has gone under all four of their games, and their offense has struggled to put the ball in the end zone. They've done well between the 20s, but once they get in the red zone, they've really struggled so far. And that was every game at home, basically. Now they're playing on the road. I think Rutgers will keep them in check the entire game.
Hey, Dad, I know you were prepping for this show and probably doing other work, but Virginia Tech on the board first. Is there an opportunity where we could jump in with some in-game betting on Miami here?
Yeah, sure, Virginia Tech will do it tonight. I think I'm 0-3 with them this year so far. So, yeah, I had no play on this game tonight. And my first thought was when I saw that number, man, that is so high, 17.5. I think it came out 20.5. But I didn't bet it because I made it that high as well. Miami's just a powerhouse, and they've got a great football team. But, you know, we just always have question marks about Mario Cristobal. Great recruiter, but he does not get the most out of the talent that he brings in. So he's a below average ATS coach, but they do have so much talent there. It was hard for me to make that bet, and I'd already lost 3 times on Virginia Tech. I didn't want to make it a 4th, so I just passed. So there's no way I'll bet Miami. There's just no shot. I'm just going to pass that game.
Kenny White is up on Cofield and Company as we get his leans and likes for the college football weekend, also the NFL. And as you guys mentioned, 7-0 VTech against Miami, 12:40 left in the first quarter. So good setup down here at TI. All right, some of the other games we need to get to with Kenny White include some, like I said, some college games. So we're going to go back to the well and play something in a Colorado game. It's funny, I was listening to some national radio that was hosted on the college football front by 3 different former college football players, and I think guys try to follow sports betting, but they really don't understand it. They were shocked that Central Florida that they were laying 14 and a half. So give me your read on this game.
Well, I'm kind of glad they were, Steve. I was a little shocked it was that high. Now, I do have problems with teams that can't run the ball, and that's Colorado. They just can't run it because they don't run it, and they don't run it because they can't run it. It's just a horrible circle for them. They just don't have a big enough offensive line, but they have one of the best quarterbacks in the country in Shedeur Sanders, and he's going to throw for 380 yards tonight. He's got great wide receivers, and he's, you know, they've got an offense that's meant to throw the ball. They use a short passing game as their running game, and then Shedeur stretches the field. Yeah, Central Florida's been very good. Gus Malzahn's done a nice job there. They've got a really good running game. They love to run the football. Both these teams play extremely fast. So I'm expecting a higher scoring football game here. But, Colorado, my ranking on them, I only have a point and a half difference between talent on the two teams. And I'll tell you what, if Colorado could run the football, they would be talked about it as a top 25 team. But no running game really hurts their overall performance. But their defense is solid. And I think they're in this game. It's going to be nice there tomorrow, 86 degrees after Helene whipped through there.
A couple more we're going to get to. And we were actually just talking about Kansas and Jalen Daniels and him trying to get right from his past injuries. Now they are hosting TCU. The Horned Frogs coming off a brutal 66-42 loss to SMU. I do like Kansas in this one. I believe you're on the same side.
Yeah, Lance Leopold, I talk about him all the time whenever I get a chance to. And he's turned this program around. He's a great football coach. He can recruit, but he teaches fundamentals. He gets the most out of his players. He puts them in a position to succeed. Surprising the bad start they're off to, 0-4 ATS, because I've been on a couple of those losses with Kansas as well. But TCU's 0-4, and I've been on a couple of the W's betting against them. So I feel like I'm in a good spot here that, you know, I've got a bad read on Kansas, a good read on TCU. I have Kansas 6 points better. Now they're playing in Arrowhead in this game. So big crowd. The last 2 weeks they've played in the soccer stadium that seats 20,000, and they've gotten great crowds. But it's kind of like it's a high school field, and it's just not that loud. It's not intimidating. I think there'll be a little more intimidation. I think there's a little bit more home field factor for Kansas. And defensively, I think there's a huge edge for the Jayhawks. I have them the 30th best defense in college football, TCU number 68. So I like TCU's offense, but I don't like their defense. And I think Kansas and Lance Leopold turns things around and wins this game tomorrow.
All right, let's go Jayhawks. One of our ranked matchups, Illinois is ranked now after their big win last week in overtime, 31-24 over Nebraska. Now they have to go up against a really good Penn State team who's ranked 9th in the country right now. What do you like in this game?
Yeah, Alex, I like under. Went under 48 when the numbers came out. It's 47.5 now. Not sure if it came down. It was just checking the weather. The weather looks fine there. That's not going to be a factor. I wish it was. Wish it was going to be extremely windy in that stadium, but we don't get that. But we do get two coaches that love to run the football and two coaches that play methodical on offense. Neither guy is in a hurry to run plays. So I think we're going to get the clock to run quite a bit in this game with running the football and being methodical. Both teams have a better defense than their offense. The Illini have 55 on offense, 37 on defensive end. And then Penn State, 9th best offense in the country with Drew Eller, but the 4th best defense in the entire country, and they're playing at home. It's going to be a tough day for the Illini to put points on the board. I know Luke Altmaier's played really well for the Illini, but when I think it comes down to it in this game, Brett Bielema is going to get very, very conservative and not take any chances and again, try to shorten this game to keep his team in the game and give themselves a chance to win. Even though they're almost a 3-touchdown underdog, I'm sure he's telling his guys, we can win. We're in the top 25. We're 4-0, and we're playing good football. So they've gained a lot of confidence. I think the number's about right, though, because Penn State is just that good.
Three really good college football plays from you, and I know you like college a lot more than the NFL, but you have been doing really good in the National Football League. Do you have an NFL play for us?
Yeah, I do. Off the wall for me, and it didn't match up with my numbers, but it's more of a situational play for me. We haven't had a double-digit favorite until this week. Finally, San Francisco, 10.5 over New England Patriots. I played the Patriots. I took the 10.5, probably much too soon. I think this number will go up because George Kittle's going to end up playing, and when he's announced that he's probable, and on Sunday, and it's an afternoon game, people will be betting San Francisco to either get out or try to catch up. So you get a little more points at that point. But New England can run the football, and if there's a weakness in San Francisco's defense, I think it's stopping the run. And that's what the Patriots are going to try to do. They're going to play slow and methodical. They're going to try to run clock. They're going to keep their defense fresh. And they're going to play bend but don't break. And they're going to get tough inside the red zone. And we may have a little pressure on Brock Purdy now that they have two losses this early in the season. So we'll see. But I like the Patriots plus the points.
Kenny White is with us. Kenny White Sports. Kenny, before we get to a couple of bonus NFL picks, because I need help in putting together the Circa Million card, so I want your angle on a couple of games. Tell people where they can find the podcast, because I know you're very proud of what you do and you give out a lot of good information.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. It's Bet the Gambit, and you go right to YouTube, search Bet the Gambit, and you'll find me. Kenny White, Bet the Gambit. It's everywhere. We've been doing it for Alex has been a big help to me getting it done, and Alex does the Tuesday show for me to give me a day off, but been a lot of fun. I think we've done 39 shows so far, and it's been amazing response from all the folks that I email out my power ratings to. That they give me a lot of great comments on how well we're doing, and they love Alex. They tell me what a superstar she is in the making.
I have an interest in 2-7 or a little over 7 dogs in the numbers that are all set at Circa Million. Broncos plus 7.5 against the Jets. Chargers plus 7 against the Chiefs.
Yeah, we don't know about the quarterback, though. That's the tough one. If Herbert's playing or not, I'm guessing that he'll probably try to give it a go. See him as still listed as questionable for this game. So I got to believe he's going to give it a go, but not being 100%. I don't want to lay points, and I don't want to lay that many points on the road. It doesn't it aggravate you, Steve, when you're laying the points and your team completely outplays the other team and they only win by 3 and they celebrate like they won the Super Bowl, but they didn't cover the spread. Yeah. So I don't like laying favorites.
Okay. Broncos, do we see enough out of Knicks and kind of not trusting all that the Jets have been in good times here? The Broncos are getting 7.5.
Yeah, the Broncos are one of the weakest offenses in the NFL with Knicks at quarterback and going up against the Jets defense, who I have number 2. I made this game a little bit higher, but again, I'm not going to lay it. The Jets are one of my teaser teams this week. I'll tease them with a couple of other games on the board this weekend.
Kenny, appreciate the time. Good luck. I hope you win tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. I hope everybody cashes some tickets on the games I gave out tonight. And thanks for having me on the show. I'll see you next week.
There he is, Kenny White, K. Whitey Sports. Deep shot hit by Miami, then a relatively short pass by Cam Ward to the end zone, touchdown, 7-7 game. This is a good Friday night because if you haven't watched Cam Ward, you should have watched him last year because he put up monster numbers at Washington State. And then Miami, it's funny how Ohio State has been kind of smashed and giggled at for spending so much money to rebuild their roster. Miami's one of the kings of the NIL portal. I mean, basically back to what 80s and 90s Miami football was, it's been the history of college football. You go and buy players. Now you can do it above board, but they went out and they were like, hey, we want a quarterback. Cam Ward is now available. And he came available later because he was going to look at the NFL, so they got Cam Ward. Then they were like, Oregon State has a good running back. Damian Martinez, let's get him. He's 6 foot, 232, rushed for 1,200 yards. Let's go grab him. So tie game right now. All right, busy 5 o'clock hour game. 5 o'clock hour coming along. We're going to bring in a Browns expert and also check in with a Fresno State expert and former Bulldog Cam Worrell.